gentlemen, sit right up.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see the elephant! We're on a roll on a honey.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, on a wet evening here in Central Florida. Be careful if you're on the roads. Give yourself some extra time. The main thing is you get there. All right, keep in mind you are listening to the American Adversaries on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer live. That's right, folks. If you listen later on the Red Nation Rising Radio Network, we appreciate that as well. Whenever, wherever you listen, we so very much thank you for doing so. All right, in the studio with me tonight, I got Pierce Outlaw, Patriot Home Funding. It's not Friday, but Pierce is in here today. We ran McBath out for a day.
And I'm sitting in his warm chair.
He's actually taking care of union business. Speaking of unions, Donald Trump spoke to some union members today. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Got a big show lined up for you today. Abe Katzman will be joining us live from Jerusalem. And because we are live, we invite you to join in on the fun, too. 407-774-8255 is still the number. I am still the philosopher, political mad scientist known as Christopher Hart. And let's get down to business. Oh, I'm sorry. Niglo Cicero, the marathon man, is on the bridge, and he's ready to take your phone call. And by the way, we got a pair of movie tickets we're going to give away tonight to this great new movie, The Zookeeper's Wife. It's a story about how a zoo in Poland was, let's just say, utilized during the Nazi occupation in World War II. It's a fascinating movie, and we got a pair of tickets to that to give away tonight. So keep that phone handy, even if you just want to listen and not get in on the talk. Abe Katzman will be joining us, and also a woman by the name of April Marie Fogel will join us briefly in the second hour of the the show. She is one of the members of, not just a member, but a coordinator of the organization called 60 Plus. And they are a competitor with AARP, and they're doing a bus tour around Florida to raise awareness about how taxes affect seniors. By the way, when I mentioned the unions, Donald Trump spoke to some unions today, and Pierce tells me in the process, the whole day long, he delivered some good news for the housing market.
He sure did. One of the things we've been looking for, and it was a campaign promise of his, is to, in his words today, give Dodd-Frank a major haircut. Yeah. That is blessed news for our industry.
All right, we're going to talk about what he meant by that and how that is beneficial for the housing market and all of us who are in that market. Okay, so we're going to sort of pick up with a story from last night that began developing earlier in the morning and actually over the weekend about Susan Rice being at the middle, not the only player by any means whatsoever, but certainly at the center of this whole surveillance scandal, surveillance gate. I think we should start calling it surveillance gate, because it goes to the heart of the main issue here, which is our government surveilling us. And we're going to bring up an angle to this that no one else has brought up today. Nobody else has thought of. That's why we are the voice to be reckoned with, Titans of Talk Radio. We're on the forefront. We're out on the cutting edge. And we're going to cut them again today. And we're going to lead up to it. Susan Rice appeared today on Andrea Mitchell's show on MSNBC. She has this hour-long show at noon. And she was able to secure an interview. Let me rephrase that. I'm sure she was accommodating to a request for an interview, because I do believe that Susan Rice was trying to get out there and, quote-unquote, this is my quote, set the record straight. She needs to get herself a lawyer who will tell her to keep her big mouth shut, because she's just getting in deeper and deeper. And it's fine for me. Keep running that big old thing. I'm happy with it, baby. Let's have it. Let's play. All right? So she revealed today that indeed she had unmasked. She wouldn't say the number. But she revealed that she unmasked Michael Flynn, that she was in the position where she would be the logical one. The way she explained it is this. Now, she was the national, after she lost her job in disgrace at the UN because of lying to the nation and the world about Benghazi, remember? She found herself the Obama's top national security advisor.
Which is arguably a promotion.
Exactly, it was. It was every bit of promotion. She went from the dank, you know, UN to the White House, right? At the president's right hand. At his, you might say, beck and call.
And in the cabinet meetings, at the cabinet meeting table, that's where the NSA director sits.
That's right. And right close.
For a reason.
And right close to the big dog. Now, the way she described it is she was just doing her job. And I'm sure if there was anything truthful that she said, that was it. Yeah, she was doing her job for Barack Obama. Now, she claimed it had nothing to do with politics or anything like that, which we know is horse hockey, right? And so she said because she was at that elevated position, the information would come through her from the National Security Agency. As she put it, whatever they thought she should see. Now, if you ask me, that's a little bit upside down. Right? That the National Security Advisor to the President should be requesting information from the NSC, not have the NSC decide what she should see. That seems screwy right there. So right now, we know she's either BSing us or she wasn't very effective at her job, because she was letting her subordinates decide for her what she should know and maybe not know.
And Evelyn Farkas's testimony, or not even testimony, but her interviews and her speeches overseas going back several months completely contradict what she said today.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's just why I say she should get herself a lawyer, and that lawyer should tell her to shut the you-know-what up, because she's contradicting herself all over the place. She contradicted herself today. All right, we're going to get to that. She said she was just doing her job, that the NSA folk would give her what they thought she should see. All right, and when she was reviewing those things, if she saw that an American was involved, because ostensibly these were surveillanced foreign nationals, whether they be in a foreign government or just some local yokel on the street, all right, and because they're all potential threats to the United States, according to Pfizer. So she would, just doing her job. If an American was unnamed and showed up, and that American was doing business or having any kind of association with some characters that she thought were shady characters, why, she'd just want to find out who they were, right? She's only doing her job.
And who made that decision, Christopher Steele and Andrew McCabe?
Well, let me just say this, that she was acting with the authority of executive orders from the president, Obama. And that's a whole other angle of the story here, because this thing that people are saying, well, what she did was legally, possibly legally, is because he had issued executive orders loosening the requirements for unmasking individuals. In other words, in 2010, if she wanted to unmask any individual who was an American, any individual who was an American in any of those intercepts, then she had to go and get a court order, literally, from a judge, a FISA judge, to unmask that individual, right? Well, in 2011, Barack Obama began the process of lessening those requirements. You still had to go through the FISA process, but now it didn't require as much to get approval. He did it again in 2015 when he lowered, according to Susan Rice today, he lowered the requirements to the simple request. In other words, she no longer had to show any reason for having to know that name. So simply the request of the National Security Advisor to the president was now enough. Thank you very much. But no, she's not politicizing anything. No, this was okayed by the president of the United States. Which brings us to the other angle of the story, the president of the United States and his involvement. It is quite clear now that we have enough evidence to draw the conclusion that if we're going to investigate things and want to really know what's going on, a fellow by the name of Barack Hussein Obama needs to be included. And here's why. As I just told you, in 2011, he lowered the requirements to get names unmasked. What happened in 2012? Something happened in 2012. Similar to something that happened in 2000. As a matter of fact, we do it every 4 years.
Presidential election.
Exactly. They did the same damn thing to Mitt Romney. I guarantee you, write it down right now, the time and the date and the place you are, when Christopher Hart revealed that they did the same thing to Mitt Romney, just not as effectively. Because what was Mitt Romney? Was Mitt Romney a politician in the strictest sense, or did he have a whole nother life as a
businessman? And foreign corporations as well.
Hey! Here we go, baby! Right? And as I've told you on the show repeated numerous occasions, and Rand Paul sort of revealed this morning, as did Susan Rice in her own way, our surveillance is so sophisticated, we get everything. We get everything. And it doesn't have to involve Americans. We listen to the Germans talking to the Russians. We listen to the Germans talking to the Israelis. We listen to everybody talking to everybody about every doggone thing. And so all they have to do to find out what was said is type in your name, and up yonder it comes. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. And so, and by the way, this technology has been around since the 70s. Now, it took it a while to get it to work with the speed and efficiency that they now have it working with, but it's been around. It ain't nothing new. And so a lot of people know how it works. You understand? But the thing is, they never wanted to let the secret out. But now it's finding its way out because of Surveillance Gate. I guarantee you they were going to do the same thing to Mitt Romney, that they were looking for stuff to use against him. And in fact, they did find some things. Right? Remember the tax things, remember the, which turned out to be a lie, the offshore accounts. Exactly. Right? Now, Mitt Romney is about as clean as a whistle. Right? You ain't going to find him talking about grabbing women's hoo-haws and stuff like that. Right? But nonetheless, he was an international businessman. And that's how they were going to attack him and bring him down. And they were going to play dirty if necessary. But mainly they were just looking for good stuff that they could use in the campaign. But they were using the National Intelligence Agency to do it. This is the problem. This is the banana republic stuff. And the fact that Obama, by executive order, could make this possible. And as I said, he did it again in 2015. See, they learned lessons in 2012. And then, so they started the process again, actually in October of 2015. Now, who was the Republican nominee for president in October of 2015? Did we know? No, we had 17 guys running. I guarantee you, they were collecting intel on all 17. They were all included in this thing. And as it became more evident that Trump was the guy, they began to freak out. So in July of 2016, when he's clearly the nominee before the convention, however, they put it into overdrive. They slammed that thing into overdrive and put the pedal to the metal. And as Farkas tells us, ooh, the alarm bell started sounding. And as Susan Rice admitted today on Andrea Mitchell's show at noon, after the election, the pace quickened. In other words, they started getting more stuff. And then in January, President Obama issued this request for a report, which he knew meant what he was telling him to do was go out and find everything you can on Trump and all of his associates having to do with anything foreign and bring it to me.
And squirrel it away and then leak as necessary.
Exactly. Exactly. You got it. And so you mark it down today. You heard it right here. It happened to Mitt Romney. And here's some more proof about what went on. And I see we got Abe Katzman on the line. We'll just go ahead and bring him in because Abe Katzman, are you with us?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate you coming to us live from Jerusalem. We're talking about this Susan Rice thing, and I'm proposing the notion that Barack Obama was doing the same thing to Mitt Romney. He was doing the same thing to all 17 of the primary candidates, or at least preparing to do it to whoever won the nomination. And in fact, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a fellow by the name of David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, said this morning on Fox Business that the evidence is quite clear that Barack Obama did interfere in the Israeli elections to try to defeat Benjamin Netanyahu. Abe?
Yeah. Well, this has been a story that's been out there for a while and yet has never really gotten the traction that I think it deserves. It is kind of funny that while the Obama administration was acting all offended that Russia would do anything, and we don't even know if they really did, but that if Russia was somehow tampering with the democratic process in America, that was offensive, and yet there is pretty clear evidence that the Obama administration paid a significant chunk of change, I mean, in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, to an organization whose mission was to defeat Bibi Netanyahu. The head of the organization was part of the Obama campaign. I think he was like a national field director, something along those lines. It had been, there actually was litigation about this in Israel. But it was, the case was dismissed. I don't recall exactly on what grounds, but realize here also that the judiciary is politicized and very, very often leans left. So it may very well be that there was kind of a bias toward dismissing any case against against this organization. But this is the story kind of disappeared. I think it was being investigated by the Senate, but at some point the Obama administration said, "Oh, can't find any of the emails that you want." Turns out the emails were mysteriously deleted.
Like, imagine that.
You know, the dog ate my homework yet again.
No, see, the problem was they
how many come up with a more original excuse? This is what they say about everything.
Well, they must have stored them on the Clinton server or something like that.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Part of the 30,000.
Lois Lerner must have been using them also.
Right. Right. Is this story percolating about Susan Rice over there, though? Is it being well-received?
Yeah, it's just starting to. I mean, I think it's it's all over the place apparently in America today, but I think it'll take a day or two for people to realize just what's going on. We've seen, and you mentioned this, you were talking about, you know, maybe happened to Mitt Romney. Wouldn't surprise me at all. We know that the Obama administration corrupted tools of government that are really supposed to be impartial. Things like the IRS, things like the Justice Department,
yep.
Things like the FBI, these are not supposed to be political weapons. And by the way, if you look back, I mean, I know this is going back a ways, but do you remember things like in the Clinton administration when they got those raw FBI files on
yep.
all these on all their political opponents? Again, just a careless mistake.
Yeah.
Maybe there's just a I don't know. The Democrats have a propensity to do this kind of thing. I don't know that there have ever been any kind of accusations against anyone since Nixon on the Republican side of even thinking of doing this sort of stuff.
No, because they would be held accountable.
yeah.
Right?
That's right. I look at this and I think there are just so many pieces that really matter that where Obama administration officials, I mean, I'm sure they tiptoed around the line knowing exactly what they were doing, but still, I mean, you have, first of all, the question of what and why there was surveillance requested, why the unmasking took place, why classifications changed of some of the of how classified some of the information was, the releasing of the information, and then of course the leaking of the information. You've got a number of areas where a number of people could get tripped up, and to me, I mean, I do take a certain pleasure in watching somebody like Susan Rice squirm.
Yeah.
I wonder, I mean, if this snowballs, I really wonder whether any of the other players in what I think we really ought to start calling the vast left-wing conspiracy
yep.
Will turn on each other. And that would really make things interesting. I don't know that they will. I don't know. I mean, who knows where this is? This story may die by tomorrow if CNN has anything to do with it. I understand they've been telling people to ignore it, essentially, you know, kind of hysterically saying, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. Don Lemon made the pronouncement last night.
Yeah, he did. That's right on this show.
There's no story.
That's right. All right. Abe, please stay with us. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you'll stay with us as well. Abe is coming to us live from Jerusalem. If you'd like to visit his website, it's abekatzman.com. That's abekatzman.com. And his, too, is part of the voice to be reckoned with. And he is, too, a titan of talk radio. And we'll all be right back.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Russian investigators are searching for possible accomplices of a 22-year-old native of the Central Asian country of Kyrgyzstan who's been identified as the suicide bomber in the St. Petersburg subway. The bomber, identified as Akbarzhan Dzalalov, lived in St. Petersburg for several years, obtaining Russian citizenship and working as a car repairman and later as a sushi bar. Pages on his social media networks reflected his interest in radical Islam and martial arts, but those who met Dzalalov describe him as a calm and friendly man. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says Russia and Iran bear great moral responsibility for deaths from an alleged chemical weapons attack in Syria. Tillerson is calling on Russia and Iran to use their influence over Syrian President Bashar Assad to prevent future chemical weapons attacks. On Wall Street, the Dow by 39 points. This is SRN News.
And the latest answer traffic now.
I'm Mick Dolan. Here's your 60-second answer news update. Parts of Apopka, Zellwood, Lake Mary, Deltona, and Sanford got some heavy rain, some wind, and even some hail this afternoon. Some power outages have been reported, including in Apopka, Longwood, and Castleberry. The storms cooled us down a bit, but we could be near 90 again tomorrow. If you traveled the 429, you might have noticed a large truck cab hanging off the 429 overpass at 192 this morning. That crash shut down both the 429 and 192 in Osceola County for several hours. The roads are back open now. And the Rays, with a big opening day victory over the Yankees at Tropicana Field Sunday. The series with the Yanks continues tonight. We start with the Rays pregame show at 6:30 right here. Brought to you by Hole-in-the-Wall Drywall Repair. Former Obama advisor Susan Rice is on the hot seat, and the stock market finishes up. Get all the news with your free Answer Orlando app in your device's app store, and don't miss a thing. I'm Mick Dolan, FM 105.5. 5 a.m. 660 to answer.
The first 100 days of the Trump administration is a new beginning for America, and it could be a new beginning for you in your pursuit of the American dream. Hi, I'm John Siebert, president and co-founder of Patriot Home Funding. Co-founder Pierce Outlaw and I are the owners of Patriot Home Funding, and we both have over 30 years' experience as mortgage industry leaders, making the American dream for many families a reality here in Central Florida. The IRS started accepting tax returns on January 20th, and refunds are going out now. You may be able to buy a home with your tax refund and close within the historic first 100 days. Call Patriot Home Funding now at 877-377-8123 to learn how you can achieve the American dream. At Patriot Home Funding, we say yes when the banks say no. Give us a call at 877-377-8123. Patriot Home Funding. We finance the American dream. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker business in the state of Florida. NMLS number 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
This is Chris Hart of the American Adversaries, where we keep you informed, even if that makes you a little tense. Sometimes that's good, but for your overall health and well-being, I'm here to tell you, you need to relax. Relax in comfort. And I'm going to tell you how you can do just that. Everyone loves a personal massage to ease those pains and discomforts, and it would be great to have one every day. But at $75 and up with tip, who can afford it? However, could you afford the most relaxing massage you've ever had for, say, $5 per day? I've had one of these wonderful massage experiences at Relax and Comfort in Winter Park Village, and I want you to have the same. Soothing and stress-relieving total body massage that I had at Relax and Comfort. Listen for your chance to win some time in Panasonic's new massage chair for a more relaxing and invigorating massage than you'll get from a professional masseuse. You'll love it. Stay tuned for details and relax in comfort.
Are you tired of the same old programming coming on TV all the time? Ready for something that's positive, celebrates America, and is fun to watch? This is Scott from My Liberty Threads. You've been hearing me talk about my t-shirts for the last several years. Hopefully some of you guys even have a few. What I wanted to talk to you guys about today is this new TV show we're going to film this summer. We're going to have 10 people all across the country selling our shirts at fairs and festivals everywhere. We're going to combine a little bit of light competition along with American capitalism, and we're going to call it the Great American T-Shirt Challenge, and we're going to just tell the story of America. All we need is a little bit of help getting this project off the ground. You can go to our Kickstarter account at kickstarter.com to the page Great American T-Shirt Challenge, or you can contact me directly to partner up on this venture at 407-729-9821. Thanks a lot, and remember to buy American. The next job you save might be your own.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
We still have heavy spots on I-4 this afternoon. Eastbound, brake lights, Osceola Parkway to 535, then heavy John Young Parkway to Maitland. 417 to the bridge also on brakes. On the westbound side, Princeton to Michigan will be your heaviest. South Trail to the Turnpike, Sand Lake to 535, and heavy past Osceola Parkway to 429. 408 eastbound delays, John Young Parkway to I-4, and it's slow at the 417. On the westbound side, John Young Parkway out to Hiawassee slow. I'm Mick Dolan, FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Hey, this is Johnny B. Bad, the bad man of World Championship Wrestling, and I'm here to tell you, listen to the American Adversaries. They may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
All right, we're back, and we got a great guy on the line with us, coming to us from Jerusalem, Abe Katzman. I am Christopher Hart. And Pierce Outlaw is in the studio tonight. McBath will be back tomorrow. And 407-774-8255 is the number if you would like to join the conversation. We were just talking about the fact that the Obama administration interfered in elections that we know of in Israel. It's probably elsewhere that we don't know of. And that administration had politicized a lot of agencies. I think we found out today, contrary to what Susan Rice would have us believe, they politicized the security apparatus of the United States, at least compromised it. And all along, she said she was just doing her job, Abe.
Well, she may have been.
For who, though?
What that assignment was.
Exactly, that's right. So,
look, we know that she carried political water for the administration before. She went out there and lied to the world about Benghazi in the video.
Yep.
And it was her job to sell the Bo Bergdahl deal. And she went out and spoke all about how Bergdahl served with honor and distinction.
Yep.
This is, and maybe she's in charge here. The thing is that this is, I mean, if they really determined that especially if there were any laws broken, and this goes right to the top. This is between the only three people I think who I understand could actually request unmasking were her, Brennan, and I'm not even sure who the third one was.
Clapper, wasn't it? James Clapper.
Clapper, of course.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't get much higher than that. I think it only gets one step higher than that, which would really be interesting.
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer, that's for sure, as this story develops. And all of this is because of Donald Trump's little tweet on an early Saturday morning, right? And everybody thought he was criticizing him for doing it. And I'm going, hurrah, hurrah. If they want an investigation, let's have a real deal investigation. And it's beginning to shape up that way. Even old Adam Schiff, I call him Shifty Schiff, began to change his story the other day. He began to sing a different tune, as my dad used to say. Let's talk a couple of different things while we still have you, Abe. Something that that I missed last week that you had pointed out to me, the Ambassador Friedman's confirmation. He was confirmed by the Senate by a very close vote, as it turned out.
Yeah, that is disturbing, how close it was. This is an ambassadorship. We're not talking about a high-level cabinet position. There's no question that this is somebody who is as qualified to be an ambassador as any of the ignoramuses that had to give tons of money to the Obama campaign who got assigned to different things. And Friedman is actually somebody who knows a few things.
Yeah, and isn't the...
I think he'll be very good.
Yeah, isn't the ambassador positions normally reserved for the biggest bundlers?
Depends on which party, I guess, right?
Yes.
I mean, and Friedman really served as an advisor to Trump on foreign policy on the Middle East. So I don't know what the problem was, but the fact that there was so much opposition from the Democrats, I think, is something worrisome. Because it's a very good measure. I think we've taken the temperature of the party in terms of how pro-Israel it is, and I think that the assumption is that this is an ambassadorial choice, which is extremely pro-Israel. These people were voting against it. Even a bunch of the Jewish senators. I mean, that's just an embarrassment. But that the people who talk all about how much they support Israel, when it comes down to it, I mean, I think only two Democrats ended up voting to confirm him. This is not a good sign.
No, it's. I think they've taken on the sort of the feverish anti-Trump, anything but Trump kind of thing. Since he's Trump guy, he can't be good. I think Mitch McConnell made this point in relation to Judge Gorsuch. He said, look, you know, with you guys, no Trump appointee is going to be acceptable, right?
I think it's partly that. I think it's partly this is somebody that Prime Minister Netanyahu is very happy with, both the president and the ambassador. And I think there's a great deal of resentment toward him, especially for having kind of shown up the president of the United States by making such a strong case against the Iran nuclear deal. And this was their president. So they didn't like that very much either. But the fact that Israel support has gotten as politicized as it has, not a good thing for Israel to become a partisan issue. I mean, it's okay now when the pro-Israel people are in power, but the pendulum swings, and I don't want to think about what it's going to be like when it swings back.
Abe, I know it's difficult to say. I know Mike McBath, were he here, though, I think he would probably want to ask this question, and that is, do you think that this instance and the fact that they chose the people that they chose to head the DNC has any effect on typically Democratic Jewish voters here in the United States? Or do you think this is making them take a second look?
Very, very few. I think there are some who have been alienated by the radicalism that has been showing up increasingly in the left wing. Alan Dershowitz, who is an honorable liberal and pro-Israel, famous Jewish law professor, he is somebody who he was ready to leave the party. Had they picked Keith Ellison to head the DNC. And he is very much against this idea that's so popular on the left of intersectionality. And what they've done is they've kind of said, you don't buy into every one of the causes, then you are not welcome. So you can support Black Lives Matter, but if you also believe that Israel has a right to exist, well, then we can't have you in our presence. And this is, again, this is something very dangerous. It is, we see this increasingly on campuses. I don't know where it ends. I don't know if it gets turned around, but this is, we're not heading in the right direction with this stuff.
Culturally. They keep losing elections, they'll get turned around.
Let's hope so. In the meantime, Donald Trump just keeps rocking on, and yesterday he met with al-Sisi, president of Egypt. It seemed they have a very excellent relationship, it appears, and I think it's tomorrow or the day after tomorrow he meets with King Abdullah of Jordan before he meets with the Chinese premier on Thursday and Friday. Just your assessment, and what does it look like from Israel's perspective, the Trump administration and al-Sisi and Abdullah?
Well, particularly with al-Sisi, Israel is happy to see a good relationship between the U.S. and the Egyptian leader. This is an Egyptian leader who understands the importance of maintaining peace with Israel, who understands the benefits of military cooperation with Israel against ISIS, and considering what Barack Obama did, I mean, really giving al-Sisi the cold shoulder, because he overthrew the Muslim Brotherhood, and Obama was, I don't know if it was taking personal offense or if it was ideological, I'm not even sure I understand it, but that he would, in essence, throw the relationship with the Egyptians, throw it down the drain. And I think that the Egyptians are very happy with Trump, and Trump is very happy with the Egyptians. and Israel is very happy with both of them. Now, a lot of this, just remember, Al-Sisi is, this is not, well, let's just say Egypt is not necessarily the most stable environment. There are a lot of enemies that this man has, and it's always the case when you're talking about dictators. You don't know what comes next.
What about King Abdullah of Jordan? Do you think they'll have the same relationship with Trump?
Yeah, he's, I think that he's in a tricky situation. He's somebody who in many ways owes his existence to the Israeli government. And at the same time, in order to maintain some popularity with his citizenry, he's got to be extremely critical of Israel. So he does both. But on the other hand, it's certainly better having him there than having ISIS or some other Iranian proxy running the show in Jordan. And it's so, again, they're dealing with millions of refugees. It's not a particularly stable situation there. I think it's very good that I hope he speaks openly and productively with President Trump.
You know, one thing I've noticed about Trump is he likes to sort of get to know people on more or less on a personal basis. For instance, he's taken the Chinese premier. They arranged to meet down in Mar-a-Lago rather than in Washington, D.C. Do you think he's trying to do that with some of these leaders that he's going to need to make real progress, for instance, in the Middle East?
I think so. I mean, I think that is something that he likes to do, but I think that he... maybe it's wishful thinking, but I think that he has the sense to understand that even if the personal relationship is not great, the national interests that align are still things that have to be upheld.
Yeah.
So I don't think that he will. Let's say he hypothetically, if he had a falling out with Prime Minister Netanyahu, I don't think he would act the same way that President Obama acted. I don't think it would ruin the relationship.
Okay. You mentioned ISIS a moment ago. I understand they're up to some interesting things, bad and in another way, maybe good?
Well, look, they're taking a beating on the battlefield right now. So I think they're at least in Syria. But they're taking some interesting steps. One, they put out a long, like a 40-minute video aimed at Iran. This was done in Farsi, and accusing them of oppressing the Sunni Muslims in Iran, and worst of all, protecting the Jewish people who live in Iran, which, of course, if they were in charge, would never do.
Of course.
It's an interesting tactic. If they can actually undermine the country that's sort of causing them, maybe causing them the most trouble. I don't know. It may also be sort of a sign of some desperation. Now, they're not limited, of course, to Syria. They
right.
also have a presence in the Sinai Peninsula, and that's something that concerns Israel a great deal. Israel has issued its highest level threat warning, where they say there is a very high and concrete, threat of violence being done by ISIS against Israelis who are visiting the Sinai Peninsula. And just as background, a lot of Israelis love the Sinai. They kind of fell in love with it after they controlled it from after the 1967 war, and the Red Sea towns and the snorkeling, and it's really terrific. So they go down there, and for the most part, ISIS is on the other side of the peninsula, 100 miles away. But apparently now they found videos, I guess they're like training videos from ISIS for teaching how to shoot up a beach, shoot up a resort. Well, if they're shooting up a beach, shooting up a resort, it's quite likely who they are going to be targeting.
Right.
So Israel, I don't know if the Israelis are going to listen, but the Israeli government is telling people as firmly as they can, get out.
Wow. Okay, we have time for one more subject. Abe, we're coming up on the 100th anniversary of World War One, and I understand that it might have turned out quite differently if it had not been for an early Zionist.
Yeah, that's right. At the beginning of World War One, there was the British had a major problem, and that was that they did not have the firepower necessary because they did not have acetone. We think of acetone as nail polish remover. They right. thought of acetone as being the key ingredient in cordite, which was necessary to make their artillery shells.
Exactly.
They had only about a four-month supply of shells and could not manufacture nearly what they needed to. And had things continued, however many people you put out there, this was a war that depended a great deal on artillery, and the Germans had it. In this situation, Chaim Weizmann, who was an early Zionist and also a professor of chemistry, came up with a method of manufacturing acetone in large volumes from grain. It used to be done through a distillation of wood. Anyway, it was a slow process. And it got to the point, in 1914, the British produced 500,000 artillery shells. The next year, they produced 16.4 million. And by the end of the war, they had fired 170 million shells, which is just a staggering number when you think about it.
Right.
Look, the war would have ended, and Germany would have won it. And this invention, this discovery, really did change the course of the war. And partly in gratitude to Weizmann for doing this, at the time, Foreign Secretary Lord Balfour, who himself was already a Zionist out of his own religious and moral convictions, not Jewish, a Christian Zionist, he issued the famous Balfour Declaration, which promised the Jewish people a national home in Palestine, and which was then endorsed by the League of Nations, and which is actually still valid international law. Who knows what would have happened if he hadn't existed, but there was a great deal of gratitude toward him and for some other Jewish involvement in the side of the British in World War One that may have led to their, I think did definitely lead to their supporting the creation of a Jewish state.
Wow. Man, that sounds to me like a great treatment for a movie, a great plot for a movie.
Weizmann, by the way, let's not forget, Weizmann became, when Israel declared independence, Weizmann became Israel's president.
Yeah, that would be a fantastic movie. Abe, thank you so much. I can't tell you that we know so much that we would not know if it were not for you. And our listeners continually tell me how much they appreciate you being on the show. And I can only echo those sentiments. Very informative today, as always. And we'll be praying for you and Israel this week. Take care of yourself.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure being with you guys.
Okay. We look forward to talking with you again next week. That, once again, ladies and gentlemen, is Abe Katzman. Once again, you're not going to get anywhere else what you get here, which is the truth, the facts, and stuff that you don't get anywhere else. All right. We're the American Adversaries. We'll take a break and come right back.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
Are you tired of the same old programming coming on TV all the time? Ready for something that's positive, celebrates America, and is fun to watch? This is Scott from My Liberty Threads. You've been hearing me talk about my t-shirts for the last several years. Hopefully some of you guys even have a few. What I wanted to talk to you guys about today is this new TV show we're going to film this summer. We're going to have 10 people all across the country selling our shirts at fairs and festivals everywhere. We're going to combine a little bit of light competition along with American capitalism, and we're going to call it the Great American T-Shirt Challenge, and we're going to tell the story of America. All we need is a little bit of help getting this project off the ground. You can go to our Kickstarter account at kickstarter.com to the page Great American T-Shirt Challenge, or you can contact me directly to partner up on this venture at 407-729-9821. Thanks a lot, and remember to buy American. The next job you save might be your own.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
We have a new crash on I-4 eastbound right before Maitland Boulevard. It's off to the side, but it's causing hefty delays. John Young Parkway to Maitland will take you more than 30 minutes. It's also slow out by the attractions, Osceola Parkway to 535, and up in Seminole County, 417 to the bridge. Westbound slowdowns, Princeton to Michigan, South Orange Blossom Trail now to the Turnpike, Sand Lake to 535, heavy past Osceola Parkway to the 429. Big time delays on 436 between 1792 and 434. I'm Mick Dolan, FM 105.5 and AM 660 to answer.
You gotta keep them separated.
That's right, folks. We separate fact from fiction around here, and we've been separated from time by the clock as it's running down short on this segment. Of course, we'll be back with another hour of the show in mere moments, but I want to remind you, Pierce is here, Patriot Home Funding. They sponsor our show, and they're there to help you get that home that you want to get. And if you have any mortgage needs, these are the guys to talk to. And actually, you were telling us last week that even if you're selling your house, they may want to talk to you.
That's true, because as the market has gotten better and things have settled down, more and more people have gotten into the mortgage industry and, quite frankly, aren't qualified beyond having a license. And you as a seller probably don't know who is fact and who is fiction, as you said.
Right.
And we can help you as a seller. You can require that any prospective buyer that brings you a pre-approval or a pre-qualification letter be pre-qualified and pre-approved through Patriot Home Funding. We can serve as your gatekeeper, if you will. You cannot require them to use us, but you can require them to pass our muster. So we will make sure that you're getting good buyers.
Give these guys a call. Once again, I can't emphasize this enough. This is one of those phone numbers you need to have on your refrigerator, because at some point, as Pierce was just telling you, whether you're buying or selling or both, these guys are going to be there to help you, and not just you, but your acquaintances and loved ones. Here's their phone number, 877-377-8123. Of course, you hear their commercials during the breaks. And once again, the number is 877-377-8123. And please mention you heard about them on the show. And we really do appreciate you supporting our sponsors. We try to get sponsors. We work real hard to get sponsors that can really offer you something of great value. And I believe we've been pretty doggone successful at that. And Patriot Home Funding is an example of that.
And remember, the services I described, both in being pre-approved and being pre-qualified and serving as the gatekeeper for you, the seller, are free.
How about that? Can't beat that, right? Okay, and of course, Patriot Home Funding Friday. These guys are in on Fridays as well. If you ever have any questions about mortgage call them. Ask them right here while we're on the air. Who knows? Somebody else out there may need the same information. All right. Speaking of calling us, we're going to have some movie tickets to give away after the top of the hour. We'll do that in the first segment, so get those phones ready. And get them ready for Thursday. McBass come up with another doozy of a contest. It's going to be finished, complete the sentence. Democrats are so dumb they believe that. And you fill in the blank. You might want to put in there, they believe that a fellow by the name of Stevens was a real secret agent and came up with some real information. We're going to talk about that angle of the story, along with a fellow by the name of McCabe, who Pierce mentioned earlier, when we come back. So please stick around for more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America. Let's go see the elephant when I'm a road.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have come to the right place to help you keep up with all the breaking news that's going on around us and in front of us. Welcome back to the American Adversaries. It is drive time now, prime time, as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer, and on a delayed basis on the Red Nation Rising Radio Network. And don't forget, you can always listen to us on AM660TheAnswer.com. Or you can go to your app store and look for the Answer Orlando app. That's the Answer Orlando app, and that'll get you hooked up with the WORL-FM-AM app, okay? And that's free, by the way, so please take advantage of that so that you can listen to us whenever and wherever you like. And if you listen to us on the Red Nation Rising Radio Network, we appreciate that so very much as well, and you too can download that app, Answer Orlando, at your app store. Pierce Outlaw is in for Mike McBath today. Pierce, of course, is with Patriot Home Funding, great sponsors of our show, and guys who really know their business and politics. And Pierce is with me, Christopher Hart. On the bridge, we have Nick LoCicero. 407-774-8255 is the number. I hope you caught the first hour of the show. If you did not, please go to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, and catch it in our archive. We had Abe Katzman on for a good part of the first hour, talking about a lot of stuff, including the Susan Rice affair. I'm calling it Surveillance Gate. We also talked about a number of other things, including Chaim Weizmann, the first president of Israel, who prime minister of Israel, I should say, who also probably, well, let's just say he was very much a deciding factor in World War I because he came up with an alternate way to make acetone. I did not know that. That acetone, first of all, was, I knew it was, it's very volatile, but I did not know it was key in the British necessities for their artillery shells. In other words, they needed acetone to make their artillery shells work, and without the volume of acetone that was produced thanks to Chaim Weizmann, it's most likely they would not have won the war. So it's fascinating always talking with Abe Katzman. And we talked to him about how Barack Obama interfered in Israeli elections, and I proposed the notion in the first hour of the show, and I feel it to my bones that Obama's been doing this all along. I think he was doing the same thing to Mitt Romney. He was accessing information on Mitt Romney, only he didn't get as much as he wanted, so the next time he loosened up the requirements to get the access even more. And, of course, when they found out Donald Trump was going to be the nominee, they then accelerated the program. And when he won the election, they accelerated the program again. And between Susan Rice and Evelyn Farkas, we're getting a pretty good picture of what went on. And it, a tape came out today of Evelyn Farkas in October of 2015. Let me make sure I'm getting my date here. Yeah, October of 2015.
Last year.
This was last year. This was October of 2016, right. She was speaking to a Warsaw security forum, or a European security forum meeting in Warsaw, Poland, at which time this was 2 weeks before the election, she expressed some, let's just say she addressed people's concerns about the possibility of Donald Trump becoming elected president. And she said, should that happen, and she emphasized this with a no kidding, or I'm not lying, I'm not joking. No, she said, I'm not joking about this. She said that should Donald Trump be elected, he would be quickly impeached or replaced by someone. Whatever that meant, he would be quickly impeached or quickly replaced by someone. What did she mean by that? What gave her, this is a woman who has a PhD. I don't call her Dr. Farkas because she acts like an idiot, but she has a PhD. What would cause someone with that level of education to say something like that in front of a security conference, in other words, people who are in pretty high levels of government around Europe, and say that to them without some notion that she knows what she's talking about, especially if she underlines it with the "I'm not joking" line. So she must have thought that she knew something about Donald Trump that would be impeachable. Or at least get him run out of town, if not impeached somehow. So this whole thing is part and parcel of the way Democrats do business in general, which is to say they're going to use every tool at their disposal in order to defeat their political opponents. And if they have the tool of disposal and it happens to be the IRS, they're going to use it. If it happens to be the Justice Department, they're going to use that. If it happens to be the EPA, they're going to use that. And if it happens to be the security apparatus, the national security apparatus, they're going to use that.
Or the FBI.
Or the FBI, whatever. Once again, this is why I say politics like professional wrestling. Some wrestlers will use anything to win. They'll pull up a chair. They'll get out the tables. Yeah, I understand that it's part of the entertainment. The point is, though, that some wrestlers, the idea is, the notion that they are conveying is that some people will do anything to win. And generally speaking, they are not liked for doing it, which is why the Democrats go to extraordinary lengths to accuse their opponents of doing what they do, to do project onto them and project away from them any, you know, culpability. And they also lie and deny. Lie, lie, lie. Deny, deny, deny. Dinesh D'Souza, this was a big part of his movie, his most recent movie, about the Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party. The truth about, I think it was The Truth About Hillary Clinton, and I forget the exact name of the movie, but you know the one I'm talking about. In that movie, he starts off being in prison, being in a halfway house with other federal prisoners, and they describe to him how they did business. And that is, they would lie, 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 and deny, deny, deny. That's how you do it in the con business. And so that's what the Democrats do. So it shouldn't be really surprising that they would do this sort of thing. What is surprising is that they did it with such freewheeling style and so little accountability. Well, now the chickens are coming home to roost, and Susan Rice stuck her big foot in her big mouth today. Amongst her contradictions, she said that she was just doing her job, and it was her job to get the reports that the NSC decided to give her, out of the goodness of their heart, no pun intended. And then it was up to her to determine how significant it was and what she should report to the president. And, of course, after the president put out his dictate to find out what anybody could about the Russians' involvement, why it became even more important to really understand what was going on. And so she would ask for the unmasking of the names that were being revealed. But she said today that she did not put together any kind of spreadsheet. Because earlier in the day, the Daily Caller reported that she had been compiling elaborate spreadsheets and spreading the spreadsheets around to other officials in the Obama administration, other intelligent agency heads and the like, and evidently maybe to some people in the media as well. Well, she denied putting together any spreadsheets. Well, a spreadsheet in the sense of the national intelligence is, or, say, an investigation, is pretty much a chart where you connect the dots, right? You just, like, let's say you're investigating a mob, and at the top of the mob is the Don. So you have the Don at the top, and then you have little lines going to his lieutenant, little other lines going to the capos or whatever they call them, right on down, you know, to the street level dudes, right? All right. That's how you evaluate the veracity of any of their testimony or any, you know, accusations. In other words, you have to connect the dots in order to know what's going on. And once you connect the dots, you now have a spreadsheet. So on the one hand, the woman is sitting there, oh, I was just doing my job. I was the national security advisor. I had to do my job. They brought me all these reports and I had to know what was going on. But oh no, I didn't do a spreadsheet. Well then, Ms. Rice, how in the hell did you do your job if you were not producing spreadsheets? You see what I'm talking about? Today, she contradicted her own testimony to, well, not testimony, but her own answers to Mitchell on MSNBC. If you're doing your job, you have to develop spreadsheets, Ms. Rice. I reckon maybe nobody ever told you that. So if you weren't developing spreadsheets, you were not effectively doing your job.
And Farkas admitted it 2 weeks ago.
And she was doing spreadsheets. And she denied it today. She lied to Andrea Mitchell. But her other explanation betrayed the lie, not to mention Farkas. So this thing is only going to get deeper, and it's only going to get more broad in its scope. And the Democrats tonight, let me just tell you, they're not having a good night. I guarantee you that. They're trying to figure out how in the heck they're going to get out of this, and especially because it's of their own creation. They are the ones who pushed this nonsense story about Russia. They are the ones who wanted to go down this road, and we welcomed it. We said, you want to have an investigation? Let's investigate all of it, because there have been crimes committed, but it wasn't by the Trump people. We've seen no evidence of that. Even old Shifty Schiff admitted that. But we have seen evidence now of crimes being committed by people in the Obama administration, All right. So now I know they can dance on the head of a pin when it comes to, you know, legalities and that sort of thing. But we do know that information was leaked improperly. Names were obtained and leaked improperly. And those are federal crimes. And I don't care if you thought you were doing your job while you were doing it. That does not matter in a federal court of law. Ignorance is not an excuse or in any way a viable defense in a federal court. Not to say I ever tried it, but let's just say it doesn't work, right? So I think we can all say that without speaking from experience. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of other fellas whose names have popped up in all of this. Stevens and McCabe. Pierce mentioned them earlier in the show. We're going to go down that road a little way. I hope you'll go down that road with us. You're listening to The American Adversaries. We'll be right back.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
Marilee here from Vacation Travel Planners, a member of Cruise Planners, with the latest vacation deals.
Like Bahama cruises from $218 per person. Or how about an Alaska 7-night cruise starting at $799 per person? Or a Caribbean 7-night cruise starting as low as $499 per person? Sandals and Beaches Resorts are offering specials up to 65% off. Iceland is a hot destination in 2017. How about a 5-day vacation starting at $1,529 per person? Join me for our spring Come Sail Away With Me cruise on the Royal Caribbean Oasis of the Seas starting at $860 per person.
Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening to The American Adversaries for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
Well, you've heard the horror stories. The couple comes home from shopping.
Oh, my gosh, there's water pouring out of the ceiling fan in the living room. Henry, quick, grab a bucket.
My new wood floors. They're ruined. Gosh, I wish we had this home inspected before we signed on the dotted line.
This is Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Buying a home is the biggest investment you'll make. You have to know what you're getting into. Henry and June now have a nightmare on their hands. Don't let that happen to you. Call Firm Foundation Home Inspections before you sign on the dotted line. We'll inspect the property from roof to foundation with the latest technology to know if there are any leaks or electrical problems. You'll get a detailed report, and at Firm Foundation, we warranty our work, ensuring your peace of mind.
Don't make that big investment without calling the home inspector that more realtors use. Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Call 321-624-0254 or go online to orlandoshomeinspector.com.
All right, welcome back to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. A couple of items of business. We want to give away some movie tickets, so let's do that right now. This is to The Zookeeper's Wife, an excellent movie that is running in the theaters right now. We'll throw in a Larry Elder mug, too. But these tickets are good while the movie is running. And it is a pair of tickets. If you would like them, call us at 407-774-8255. This is a story of how a zoo was used to, let's just say, assist Jews during World War II. All right, The Zookeeper's Wife. That's 407-774-8255. We also would like you to go to our Facebook page, American Adversaries, and vote. That is right. Vote for us for the best talk show in the Orlando area, radio talk show. Go to American Adversaries on Facebook and vote tonight, please. You have until May 1st, but don't wait.
Vote
early and vote often. There you go. We now have April Marie Fogel on the line with us. She's taking a little time out from her bus tour around Florida. April Marie, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, it's our pleasure. Where are you at now, and what's the point of the bus tour?
All right. Well, we actually just got into Tallahassee, which is our final stop. We are delivering petitions from the Taxpayer Revolt Tour. And the point of this tour is we're discussing three federal issues and two state issues, just trying to keep everybody engaged and informed.
taxpayer revoke tour. You got petitions. Can people still sign a petition? Do you have a website or anything?
They can. So the five issues, I'm going to go over them really quickly because okay. I know we don't have a lot of time.
That's right.
On the federal level, the full repeal of Obamacare. Not Republican care, not just a lighter version of Obamacare, full repeal of Obamacare.
Okay.
Rolling back Obama regulations.
Okay.
And killing the death tax, which is what our association was founded on in 1992. The president ran on killing the death tax, and Congress passed it. It got vetoed under Clinton. They passed it. Obama threatened to veto it, so the Senate didn't take it up. And now we have an opportunity to pass it and fully repeal this. So we need to call our members of Congress and tell them now is the time.
And then,
go ahead.
You're with 60 plus, right?
60-plus Association. Yep, 60-plus.org.
60-plus.org. That was going to be my question. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, and then the two state issues, which is what brought us to Tallahassee and what the tour, the petition is about, is one is ending corporate welfare. We've heard a lot about Enterprise and Visit Florida, the lack of accountability and the lack of transparency in those two programs, and the amount of taxpayer waste that has gone through those programs, including
okay.
the Burnham Center in Sanford. We drove to that in Orlando, the Sanford Burnham Center. We drove to that yesterday, and they got $150 million to create a certain number of jobs. Those jobs never came to fruition, and now they're leaving. And the state, because of the efforts to end Visit Florida, Enterprise Florida, the state is asking for half of that money back. So the taxpayers will still have been on the hook for $75 million.
For nothing.
It's just crazy. And then the second issue is stopping the Joe Negron land grab. This is something that is happening in Tallahassee that not a lot of people are talking about, but essentially would decimate, as Marco Rubio said, make into ghost towns the agriculture areas of South Florida. And it's for a plan we don't even know would work to an environmentalist proposed plan, and it would cost over $2 billion in bonds, and we just don't need that. It's just not a good solution. It's not a fiscally responsible solution. It's not a solution that even the science community has said will work. So we are trying to bring attention to that and to stop the Senate from passing such a bad bill.
So people can go to 60plus.org. So you write, it's the number 60, right?
The number 60. Plus, the word plus, .org. And on the first thing you'll see is a picture of our beautiful bus that's been touring around the state. If you click that, you can get information, including where to sign the pledge. So I highly encourage people to do that. And then follow us on Facebook at 60 Plus Association. And while you're on Facebook, go vote for the adversaries for best radio show. So go
you.
Do that at once.
I appreciate that.
Follow 60 Plus and vote for the radio show.
Thank you, April Marie. And what are you going to do? What's the culminating event for your tour?
So we are going to be tomorrow in Tallahassee. We are going to deliver the petition as well as speak in committee about the land grab in South Florida and the incredible voter pushback that we saw while we were on the tour. So it's not too late to sign the petition and still have your legislator get it tomorrow. So I encourage everybody to go ahead and sign it. We are paying attention to them and that their votes have consequences.
Okay. That's 60plus.org or visit them on Facebook. Well, April Marie, thank you for spending some time with us. I look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thank you for having me on. Again, it's the Taxpayer Revolt Force, 60plus.org. Have a great day, you guys, and vote for this radio show.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Have a great event tomorrow and travel safely.
Going downtown. Exclusive coverage of Tampa Bay Rays baseball in Central Florida is brought to you by Hole in the Wall Drywall Repair. Honest, straightforward, with quick and effective solutions to restore the beauty of any wall or ceiling. Call 407-283-1069 or online at holeinthewalldrywallrepair.com. And by Porky's Real Pit Barbecue. Before or after the game, enjoy Central Florida's best barbecue. Porky's in the heart of downtown Apopka. We are Central Florida's home for Rays baseball, FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The head of Homeland Security says arrests of people entering the United States illegally across the Mexican border plummeted last month. That's a signal that fewer people are trying to sneak into the U.S. John Kelly says in written testimony submitted to a Senate panel that fewer than 12,500 people were caught crossing the border last month. That compares with more than 58,000 that he says were detained in February. It's the lowest monthly figure in at least 17 years. Kelly says the decrease is no accident and credits President Trump's approach to illegal immigration. The Trump administration has not yet changed how the border is patrolled, but the president's tough talk on immigration and arrest of immigrants have acted as deterrents. On Wall Street, the Dow by 39 points to 20,689. The NASDAQ rose 4. The S&P advanced 1. Oil up to $51.03 a barrel. This is SRN News.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food. But those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry Shepard of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. Jerry owns and operates a state-of-the-art service center. Because you drive a Mercedes, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you'll find at Jerry's. When you need expert maintenance or repair work and want it at the best price, call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. They'll have your Mercedes humming while you skip those high dealer rates. For the dealership alternative, call 407-366-6499. Jerry'sMB.com.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santamassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
This is Trump HQ.
My fellow Americans, it's an exciting time for our country. Our new administration has so much change underway, change that is going to strengthen our union and improve so many people's lives. The duty of judges, therefore, is not to rewrite the laws, but to uphold the laws and to apply the Constitution as written. And this is what Judge Gorsuch will do.
Stay here for the latest on the Gorsuch confirmation.
Trump HQ.
Here, FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer.
Hey, folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to The American Adversaries, the best in political professional wrestling on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer, tough guy, ho!
Ho! All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We do so very much appreciate you listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. If you're hearing us now, that means you're listening to us on AM660TheAnswer.com or you've downloaded the free app into your smart device, Answer Orlando app at your app store. Or maybe you went to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, and hit the Listen Live button. Or you might be listening to us on a delayed basis on the Red Nation Rising Radio Network. At any rate, we're going to go right on through just like we normally do, and thank you for listening to the show. We, of course, be here until 7 o'clock, and then if you're listening to us, wherever you're listening to us now, you'll be able to hear the Larry Elder Show as he follows us. On the airwaves, however, right now is the Rays pregame show, and this will happen to us periodically throughout the year. And so just once again, this is another reason why you should, if you have a smart device, download the free WORL FM AM app into that device. Just find Answer Orlando at your app store, and you can take it from there. 60plus.org, once again, is the website if you want to sign the pledge, the petition. That is the focal point of the Taxpayer Revolt Tour. And 60 Plus, by the way, is a great organization that you might want to join up with anyway. And you can find out how to do that as well at 60plus.org. Got Pierce Outlaw with me, Christopher Hart, in the studio. 407-774-8255 is still the phone number if you would like to get involved with the show. Let's see if there's anybody out there. Would you like a pair of tickets to the Zookeeper's Wife movie? If so, call us right now at that phone number, 407-774-8255. The Zookeeper's Wife is an excellent movie. And it's playing at the theaters right now, so this is your opportunity to see it on the big screen for free and get a couple of Larry Elder mugs in the process. Earlier, we mentioned a couple of fellas whose names have also come up in all of this surveillance gate, as I'm calling it now. One was a fella by the name of – it's Christopher Stevens, isn't it? No, not Christopher Stevens. What's Stevens' first name? Do you recall? It's Andrew McCabe and
Christopher Steele.
Steele.
MI5 agent.
Yes, Christopher Steele. That's right. I was confusing him, of course, with the ambassador killed in the Benghazi terrorist attack. Christopher Steele is the 007 wannabe. He is supposedly now no longer in the British intelligence agencies, but has been contracted as sort of a private eye, or as an independent operator, to do what he did while he was in the British intelligence services. And actually, there have been conflicting reports as to whether he actually was or not. But we'll accept, at least for purposes of argument, that he was. But Christopher Steele, remind our listeners, in case they don't remember, about the dossier and everything.
Yeah, the Trump dossier, which was leaked to the New York Times in January. Christopher Steele was hired to basically trail the Trump team and assemble that over a period of time. We can get into also what appears to be a conflict of interest at the highest levels of the FBI between Andrew McCabe accepting money, or at least his wife accepting money from the DNC, and McAuliffe in Virginia, who is a Clinton foot soldier from way back, to the tune of $700,000 while this was going on. It's quite a tangled web.
Indeed it is, and it got more tangled yesterday and today thanks to Susan Rice and Evelyn Farkas. Yeah, this whole thing with Steele undermines the fact that the former administration, the Obama administration, was going to extraordinary lengths to obtain whatever they could get. I hesitate to call it information because at least evidently a lot of what came from Steele was nonsense. It was BS. But Obama administration was going for whatever they could get their hands on so that they could use it in some form or fashion against Donald Trump.
And Steele could operate outside of U.S. law. That's the key issue.
Absolutely. He could do things that our intelligence agencies ostensibly cannot or do not do. I don't know if they don't, but at least in this case, they did go to Steele. And he gave them what they wanted. You know, he gave them what they wanted. It had no factual basis, but he gave them what they wanted. He gave them some outlandish accusations that they could use against Donald Trump. The one that's got the most notoriety, and there were a number of them in the dossier, but the one that got the most notoriety, I guess because it was most bizarre, was that Donald Trump had a room, and I guess a posh Moscow hotel, supposedly the same room that Obama and his wife had slept in. And so finding that fact out, Donald Trump hired some prostitutes to come and urinate on the bed. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's just utter nonsense. I mean, and there's no factual basis for this. They haven't produced any prostitute who said that they did this sort of thing. They haven't produced anybody from the hotel who claimed they had to wash some urinated on sheets. They haven't produced anything. accept the outlandish accusation.
Yeah, and the Trump team pretty quickly shot that down with evidence that Trump was elsewhere in the United States at the time.
At the time, he couldn't have done it unless he did it, you know, by phone, right?
Teleporting.
Yeah, exactly. But yet, this dossier is still mentioned by people in the mainstream media as some sort of evidence that Donald Trump and the Russians had something going on, and worse yet, that maybe Putin has some dirt on Donald Trump that he can blackmail or intimidate or extort him with. But it's ludicrous. And so you have the ludicrous with Steele. And yet with Andrew McCabe, you have something much more insidious. You got the ludicrous, and now you got the insidious, because he's the deputy director of the FBI. And in fact, this story about his wife receiving that money came out during the campaign fairly early on. I believe it was before the general election, but sometime into the primary.
It was during the Clinton investigation.
Right. It was part of all that Clinton investigation. And that's right. These revelations came out, I think, about the same time, now that you mention it, that James Comey...
It was during the summer, July.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that was when James Comey was making a bunch of noise and then came out and said that, yeah, they found all this stuff out, but they weren't going to seek an indictment against Hillary Clinton, and no, you know, good prosecutor would, or so whatever his excuse was. And at that time, Andrew McCabe's name was mentioned as part of him being involved in the investigation, him being involved in some of the interviews. I can't recall if he was involved in that farce of a questioning of Hillary Clinton. You remember the Saturday morning, July 4th, and the questioning. But Andrew McCabe's wife is in hip deep, actually probably more like shoulder or neck deep, with the Democratic Party, receiving funds, a lot of money, from McAuliffe, who was a Clinton lackey, and being right at the center of that investigation. And guess what? He's still the deputy director of the FBI.
And Trump lets him continue in that post at his own peril.
And I don't know if Trump can do anything about it at this point. Maybe he can as this more develops, but there is not an impenetrable barrier, but there is a barrier between the executive, the Oval Office, and the FBI in terms of Trump just can't up out of the blue fire James Comey. And I think it's the same with McCabe. He has to have cause. He has to have reason. The FBI director has a 10-year term, and he's pretty much, they set it up to where, and once again, this is the same logic that went into our appointees to the Supreme Court, and that is, if they have, in the Supreme Court case, it's a lifetime appointment, or a federal judge, lifetime appointment. In the case of the FBI director, it's 10 years, so that means he's going to go through a couple of different presidents. But the point being is it's supposed to make him somehow immune from the political pressures that go on in Washington, D.C. In other words, if he's going to be there for 10 years, he doesn't have to worry about the president firing him if he finds out something bad about the president or his administration. So there are some limitations as to a president's ability to fire the FBI director. But at some point, he can fire him for cause. But of course, at this point, I don't know that Trump has what would qualify as cause. Certainly, it wouldn't satisfy the Democrats, but would it satisfy enough Republicans? Because a lot of them are pretty weak-kneed, too. So the president, Trump, is going to have some pretty solid,
Yeah, the conflict of interest that's apparent is not good enough.
Exactly. Getting a little tongue-tied there. By the way, congratulations to Don. He got the tickets to the Zookeeper's Wife movie. I'm sure he's going to enjoy that presentation. So it just keeps getting deeper and deeper. Many of the players are still in action. McCabe, Comey, this guy Steele is still floating around over there. And yet the Democrats have yet to come up with one iota of evidence to show that there was any sort of collaboration between Trump and the Russians. Their latest attempt is they have come up. There's a story that the head of Blackwater is a private security company that provides high levels of security in places like the hot spots of the world. They had contracts in Afghanistan and Iraq. And so this guy, the people in Blackwater know world leaders from around the world who they've done business with or sought to do business with. And that would include many of the Middle Eastern Gulf states. And evidently the media is now saying that the Trump team was working through the head of Blackwater to set up a back channel through the United Arab Emirates to Russia. So here we have another wrinkle in the Russia story. Perhaps they'll, come up with some actual proof. As a matter of fact, Fox just now put up, I guess they're talking about it right now, the allegation is that this founder had a secret meeting about setting up this back channel. And the Washington Post is breaking this story. Once again, we'll see if this goes anywhere. But it is simply an extension of the scripted storyline that they've already been running with. And that is that Trump was collaborating with the Republicans. And they haven't found any evidence of that so far. So this is just another attempt to show some connection, some link between. And by the way, it would not be unusual for a new administration to begin to seek out its own back channels to other countries in the world. Guess who else did this when he became president of the United States? He sought back channels to another country. As a matter of fact, a very hostile country, a country that is still very hostile to the United States. And not only did they seek back channels, they got the back channels, and they used this to secretly negotiate deals with this country. Do you know who I'm talking about? Of course, it is Barack Hussein Obama. And the country that he had the back channels with was Iran. And it resulted in a nuclear deal, which allows Iran to build nuclear weapons. Right? Was that illegal?
And to fund their terror operations throughout the Middle East.
Yeah. And then, of course, they had their back channels dealing with the Bo Bergdahl thing, right? They had back channels there. They were dealing with bad guys, right? They were dealing with the Taliban. And this, it's once again, they're clutching at straws. They've got nothing but a fantastic allegation. And what I mean by fantastic, not in any good sense, but just fantastical as in fantasy. And they keep trying to weave things into it where there's nothing there. So we'll see if this one pans out. And but in the meantime, the surveillance gate, there is clearly plenty of evidence already there to indicate that there was certainly some serious wrongdoings going on at the very highest levels of the Obama administration. All right? Okay, we'll take a break. When we come right back, we'll be finishing out today's show. And don't forget, Thursday, we have the Fill in the Sentence contest. Compliments of Mike McBath. Fill in this sentence. Democrats are so dumb, they believe that. You finish it out. Okay? All right, we'll be right back to finish out today's show. I hope you'll be with us.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, spring is already upon us. And that means wedding bells are ringing. It also means a lot of you are either planning a wedding or know someone who is. And as you know, this can be an agonizing and tense-filled experience. Unless you have someone on your planning team who can help you make that day as special as it can possibly be.
Dino Rento Studios is that playmaker. They have wedding planners that can help you as much or as little as you need. They also have decorations like table centerpieces or arches or columns, Mr. and Mrs. Table, or whatever it will take to make that day special, all at affordable prices. So don't stress it. Call Dino Rento Studios at 800-704-7089. They are located just off North John Young Parkway, but you can reach them at 800-704-7089 or visit them at DinoRentosStudios.com. That's Dino Rentos, R-E-N-T-O-S, studios.com.
Are you tired of the same old programming coming on TV all the time? Ready for something that's positive, celebrates America, and is fun to watch? This is Scott from My Liberty Threads. You've been hearing me talk about my t-shirts for the last several years. Hopefully some of you guys even have a few. What I wanted to talk to you guys about today is this new TV show we're going to film this summer. We're going to have 10 people all across the country selling our shirts at fairs and festivals everywhere. We're going to combine a little bit of light competition along with American capitalism, and we're going to call it the Great American T-Shirt Challenge, and we're going to just tell the story of America. All we need is a little bit of help getting this project off the ground. You can go to our Kickstarter account at kickstarter.com to the page Great American T-Shirt Challenge, or you can contact me directly to partner up on this venture at 407-729-9821. Thanks a lot, and remember to buy American. The next job you save might be your own.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Jana Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
Trump HQ. The GOP takes the health care plan off the table.
Well, I feel that there's been too much of a focus on arbitrary timelines, artificial deadlines.
This bill leaves in the architecture or a scaffolding of the Affordable Care Act.
We hope they come back to us and do everything we can to improve the Affordable Care Act.
We need to offer something that's hopeful to people, and we're not doing that yet.
We're your answer for what's next. Breaking news, updates, analysis.
You get it all.
You get it all
right here.
FM 105.5.
AM 660.
The answer.
Okay, welcome back to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. We do so ever much. Thank you for listening. Some news came out a little bit earlier today on the Gorsuch nomination. The Senate is they're having the quote unquote floor debate. It's not much of a debate. It's just a bunch of guys standing up there saying why they do or don't will or won't vote for Gorsuch. But some of them are the Democrats are going way off the deep end, but there's a Republican kind of going off the deep end too, right, Pierce?
Yes, and it's our old buddy from Arizona, John McCain.
Oh, yeah.
Who today said that after 200 years, or at least 100 years, of this tradition where the Senate has functioned pretty well, they think it should be a good idea to blow it up. Idiot. And no, whoever said that is a stupid idiot. Direct quote from Senator McCain.
He doesn't think the nuclear option should be utilized, obviously. And if that is the case, then I think that he thinks it's okay for the Democrats to bully the president and the Republicans in the Senate into replacing Neil Gorsuch. Because as it stands now, the Republicans have 55 votes that they can confirm for Gorsuch. That means three Democrats or perhaps one of the independents or both went for, I don't know the names, but in other words, three plus all Republicans are going to vote for his confirmation. 55. They need 60 to avoid the so-called nuclear option if they're going to push Gorsuch through or to avoid a filibuster.
Yeah. He wasn't finished, though, Chris.
Oh.
He goes further. I think this is a dark day in the history of the United States Senate. It's going to happen, and it's interesting that Republicans were dead set against it when my former colleague, Harry Reid, invoked it with the judges. But now it seems to be okay. So your colleague was the worst senator basically in the history of the nation. That is pretty telling.
It is indeed. Well, of course the Republicans were against it then. But once Harry Reid pulled the trigger, he changed the whole lay of the land. Once Harry Reid pulled the trigger on the nuclear option in terms of federal judgeships and cabinet posts, he changed everything. And so all they're doing is sort of completing the sweep. Okay, so you got all other federal judgeships other than the Supreme Court, you only need 51 votes. Cabinet positions, you only need 51 votes. Well, okay, now we're going to make it the Supreme Court as well. Thank you very much, Democrats. And they're the ones pushing this. And I got a feeling that were it not for the feverish pitch that their base is in right now, I mean, they're whipped into a real frenzy. If it were not for that, I think more Democrats would go for Gorsuch.
Yes, and this is such a slippery slope because the next stop after this, legislation.
Exactly. And that what Pierce is saying is that they pull the nuclear option on all legislation.
Yes, and then it's not a representative republic anymore. Then it is a democracy.
It's much closer to it, yes. But the vote is going to be Friday, according to McConnell, and he's pretty steadfast in his. He's never actually said we're going to do what we call the what is commonly become known as the nuclear option. He's not ever actually said he's going to do that, but he has said emphatically and without doubt or any hesitation or qualification that Neil Gorsuch will be confirmed, and he now says that he will be confirmed on Friday. Now, we will see, and it will at this point evidently require the nuclear option, which I think was going to happen anyway should Trump have gotten another pick. The Democrats are simply moving up their opposition in terms of pushing the filibuster on this Supreme Court pick here. And so it's at the end of the day, I don't think it really affects Republicans negatively because, as McConnell himself admitted today, he voted for Breyer, a Clinton nominee. He voted for Bader Ginsburg, a Clinton nominee. I don't think he voted for Kagan or Sotomayor, but I know Lindsey Graham did. So you have Republicans that will vote for Democratic nominees simply because they figure that if the president won the election, it's his right to pick the Supreme Court justice.
And there's no other compelling reason not to vote for the nominee in that they're not dishonest or scandal ridden.
Exactly. And they did not pass through Obama's choice because it had been made so late in the game. And in fact, even though the Democrats say the election season wasn't in yet, indeed it was.
I mean, it was in play in 1992.
Exactly. So it is a fight to the finish in the Senate over Neil Gorsuch, and we'll see what happens. And it looks like even McCain is resigned to the reality that the nuclear option will be employed if necessary. And I like it that he doesn't like it, if there's any consolation. All right, that's going to about wrap it up for tonight. Pierce, you going to be back in Friday?
Sure am. Can't wait.
All right, so Pierce will be back Friday. Of course, we hope you'll be with us every night, Sunday through Friday, live at 5. And once again, you folks who listen in on the Red Nation Rising Radio Network, you can also catch our shows at your convenience at our website, AmericanAdversaries.com. And we invite all of you to vote for us as the best local radio news talk show in Orlando, live at that. And you can do that by going to our Facebook page, American Adversaries on Facebook. We're always putting great new stuff up there today. By the way, we put up some stuff today about Ann Coulter. You might find interesting. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. Please vote early and often, as Pierce says. Night, everybody.
From the Total Roof Services Studio, FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando.